listening to an episode of the Dynasty Draft Room podcast, brought to you by DynastyDraftRoom.com.
Welcome inside of the Dynasty Draft Room. It is draft day, and I'm excited to talk about the early season NFL draft risers. My name is Matt Hicks, joined by Jack Borowski to talk about a fairly large size group of early season risers. We have a good group to talk about here, Jack. How you feel, my man?
I'm excited. I think we're six. Like, it's weird because I don't know if we're halfway through the season. I don't know where we're at, but we're a few weeks from with the SEC playing. ACC's obviously gone in the swing of things. Group of five teams. There's some solid programs, and then we're pretty a few weeks we'll have Big Ten football back. I can't wait to have Maction Tuesday night's football, and then I think the biggest thing we've been missing is Pac-12 after dark. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, SEC football is great. I love watching 3:30, 7 o'clock games. It's awesome. Bama, Georgia. It's gonna be fun this week. But like, once the game's over, like, I want something to watch. Like, I want to watch Washington State play like Cal at like 12:30 at night. And
the day being over with that 7 o'clock slate is the worst. You're absolutely right. This last week we had a great 7 o'clock slate. But as soon as the Miami-Clemson game got out of hand and, you know, Ole Miss and Alabama kind of calmed down, I was like, okay, what else? You know, what else? Give me some Arizona State. Let me see, you know, Jaden Daniels. You know, let me see Grant Gunnell on the other side of Arizona toss the ball around. You know, let me get some Oregon football. What's going on here?
Right, exactly. So I think that's like, I know SEC coming back was awesome. Like, this week we got Alabama, Georgia, and afterwards – I want to watch some horrible football at 11 o'clock. Like, I want, like, that's what I want back. That's what made college football so much fun last year.
Well, we're getting there. We're slowly but surely getting there. But through the first 5 or 6 weeks here, depending on how you're counting, we have some players that have stood out to us in terms of the 2021 class specifically. Now, I got to tell you, we're not going to talk about them today. But the 2022 class, I'm just gonna throw it out there. They are looking freaking good, man. It took everything in me to not talk about some of those guys today. But these will be 2021 guys that we're expecting to jump up on the radar. And Jack, let's go ahead and jump right into it with the first one here. We both had a few submissions for this, but you went ahead and put in James Mitchell, the tight end from Virginia Tech. So tell me why you're excited about him as a riser in the early season.
I'm glad you put him first because I think he's been one of the biggest risers in all of college football. Christian Darrisaw, his teammate, the offensive tackle, is fantastic as well. Virginia Tech has a lot of talent. You talk about Khalil Herbert, Trey Turner, but I want to focus on James Mitchell because I think he is one of the best tight ends in this entire draft class, and we're looking at one of the best tight end classes we have had in recent memory. Talk about Kyle Pitts has looked phenomenal so far, Brevin Jordan and Rhett Lashley's system. He's also looked great. But James Mitchell, we would talk about a complete tight end. He is the definition of that. The way he is able to sit there and block his butt off. Like, he is one of the best blockers. James Mitchell, when you think about a tight end, first thing that I like to see is, can he catch the ball? Because that's where the modern offense is going. But as a whole, when I look at James Mitchell, what he can do as a passer and as a blocker is unmatched. There are just very few players who can pancake a safety coming down on a screen pass and the next play take the top off the defense. He had 2 touchdowns last week. His first game of the season, he looked phenomenal. He's looked great all year, and he was a player who I was super high on based off his film last year. Even in games where, you know, Dalton Keene's another Virginia Tech tight end who went really high in the draft, he got his fair share of targets. I still was so impressed with the way James Mitchell is able to separate, get open, but also be one of the best blocking tight ends in all of college football. And that was on full display against UNC, where he had over 100 yards, a rushing touchdown, receiving, and then also blocked his butt off. I was so impressed with James Mitchell last week, and I've been really impressed with him all year.
I love that, man. That's a great riser to kick us off with here. And I feel like Virginia Tech, you know, with like the COVID mishap and I feel like they have not been getting as much attention as they should, but I think they're an offense that's going to catch our eye more moving forward. Here's a guy, though, and it's kind of weird to call him a riser because Terrace Marshall, the wide receiver for LSU, is my first submission here today. He is a riser, but he always should have been this high for me. He was always a first-round guy for me, but I feel like through the first 3 weeks of the SEC season, we've started to see him really solidifying himself as a first-round wide receiver. Now, through 3 games for LSU, Terrace Marshall has found the end zone 7 times, twice against Mississippi State, twice against Vanderbilt, and 3 times against Missouri this past week. He has 21 receptions, Jack, over the first 3 games of the season. This is absolutely ridiculous, and it backs up everything we could see on film with him. He's explosive. He's a good route runner. He's got great body control. We saw that on display, especially against Missouri this past weekend. There's a lot of good wide receivers in this draft class. But Terrace Marshall, for me, he's not getting out of the first round. 6'3", 200 pounds. He's a nice combination of size and height. Size and athleticism, I should say. He's got the full package for me. And I think a lot of folks had him as a high day two guy. So I'm pushing him into that locked in first round. It would be hard for me to imagine him making it to day two at this point.
Yeah, I totally agree. Going in, I had a second on him. He was a pretty easy one. We talked about this before the show, a pretty easy one to predict, probably going to move into that first round. I think you can argue that he's put himself in the conversation for wide receiver 3.
Absolutely. Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, and then it's an open competition. So whether it ends up being Terrace Marshall, Rondale Moore, I think, we talked about Rashad Bateman being pretty far off the mark here. I think Devonta Smith probably has a better shot to get into that conversation. So I absolutely agree. I think at this point, Terrace Marshall, the wide receiver from LSU, is the front runner, and he's definitely helped himself out in the first the early part of this season. And that is despite LSU as an offense. Now the offense is performing well, but the LSU team is struggling. So he is performing despite the LSU team struggling, where his teammates last year who are now in the NFL, they succeeded or have opted out. They succeeded in with a team that was really clicking. The last thing I'll mention about Terrace Marshall is I just want to point this out. I tweeted out this stat this past week, but Terrace Marshall is currently on pace to break the single season SEC record for receiving touchdowns, even in a condensed SEC schedule here. And that record, by the way, was set last year by his currently opted out teammate, Jamar Chase, who found the end zone, I believe it was 19 or 20 times. Well, he's currently on pace to smash that in a 10-game SEC season. So it's a good spot to be in right now with Terrace Marshall. But let's go ahead, Jack, and jump to your next guy here. Do you want to give us your edge from Georgia?
Yeah, Azeez Ojulari is a name who I think needs to be talked about as edge rusher 1 in this class. And it's a solid group. I think we look at Gregory Rousseau as a guy. Jason Owe will be playing in a few weeks. Patrick Jones, who I'll touch on a little bit. But Azeez Ojulari was a player who I felt was a first-round pick coming into the season. And I didn't see his name there enough. His redshirt freshman film last year was phenomenal. I mean, he had 6 sacks. He looked great. I mean, you turn on the Florida tape, the kid can bend the edge, but also has a combination of speed and power, which I love to see. And this year, he's just taken his game to another level. And I understand if people were – he wasn't on their radar because he was only a redshirt freshman last year. But right now, if you don't have him in your first round of your mock draft, I don't trust it anymore. That's how good he's played this year. In 3 games, the guy has looked like the best player on the field. The last 2, we know, against Tennessee and Auburn were 2 big-time matchups. And Azeez has just dominated every single play. I know PFF has him basically as their number 1 edge rusher, as he should be. He's been phenomenal. Like, I don't know. There's nothing else really to say besides the fact that I think he's been the biggest riser out of anyone in this year's draft based off of his first few games, because there's open competition for edge rusher 1, and he has all the tools, all the potential to continue to grow. And he showed it on film throughout his entire career that he can progress and he can understand what he needs to do to get to the quarterback, get to the running back, be able to react on screen passes and get to wideouts or running backs. I've been so impressed, and I think he's a guy who's been a big-time riser so far.
Yeah, I mean, that Georgia defensive unit has been ridiculous, and they've been relying on their defense for much of the early part of this season, and it's become a really dominant unit. You know, you look at the way Alabama played last week, you look at the way some of these other units in the SEC have played, you have to say that Georgia has the best defensive unit in the SEC, at least through 3 weeks, and he's definitely a part of that. And I got to tell you, man, you know, obviously I'm a Tennessee fan, and it was working out for us for a half last week, and then it fell apart. But even in that first half, we could not run the ball. And we have one of the best offensive lines, if not the best offensive line units in total in the SEC. And the Georgia front four, man, they weren't making it look like it was anything impressive. And, you know, certainly a part of that.
I was so impressed because I think when we looked at this matchup, it was going to be, as you touched on, Tennessee's offensive line, which from an NFL perspective, from a Devy with offensive linemen perspective, there's a lot of talent there. I mean, this Georgia defense, I mentioned, as we touched on, Aziz, Adam Anderson, there's, I mean, they made them look bad. And we know there's a few really good plays that Tennessee had. They put up two touchdowns in the first half. But, I mean, Garantano threw two of his best passes he's had in his entire career. Outside of that, I mean, they didn't do much offensively because Georgia's defense is just, I think it's by far. I think when you look at from top to bottom, they have so many NFL prospects and they play as a unit. They're going to continue to have so much success. And hopefully we get to see a great matchup against Alabama.
All right. Well, we've talked about a few bigger name guys, but of course we dig deeper than that here, Jack. So we're going to head on down to South Alabama and talk about a wide receiver that they have there in Jalen Tolbert. Tell us about Tolbert and why he's caught your eye early.
So Jalen Tolbert, wide receiver from South Alabama. I know Quan Baker was on the Senior Bowl watch list. He's their other wideout. So coming into the season, I had my eye on Quan Baker. And early on, they had a lot of weekday games. So I was watching them. And Jalen Tolbert caught my eye in all three of the games that I watched. As not only do I think he's a legit NFL prospect, I think he's a top 100 pick easy and one of the best junior wide receivers in the entire nation. 6'3", 190 pounds. And the dude can go up, get the ball, create separation. I think he's a phenomenal wideout. And I know juniors in the Sun Belt, they don't necessarily get a ton of attention because they haven't really been on the radar. But this kid is definitely on the NFL's radar. He's like, you turn on, they play Texas State this Saturday. If you want a 12 o'clock matchup to watch, watch him because he's going to torch Texas State's defense. He's a incredible player, and I'm surprised that people aren't talking about him as the biggest riser, in my opinion, outside of like the main guys who we all know from the SEC. But the out of the group of five wide receivers, he's been by far the best, and I think that the sky's the limit with what he's been able to produce so far.
I love it, man. We dig deep. We absolutely dig deep, and that's what's important. I want to talk about another pair of wide receivers here in terms of risers, and that's two guys that I liked a lot in my preseason film study, but I think they're starting to come alive as this North Carolina offense starts to click, and that is the combination of Dyami Brown and Daz Newsome. So when it comes to these two guys right here, they kind of bring a different set of skills to the table, but I really like what they both offer. And so with Dyami, you know, he's really been that more consistent field stretcher for North Carolina so far. He's found the end zone twice against Virginia Tech, but he's consistently brought in, you know, receptions, 6 receptions, 4 receptions, 3 receptions. He seems to be that consistent, like I said, field stretcher for Sam Howell. Really consistent hands. He's explosive off the line of scrimmage. 6'1", 185. He's got good acceleration downfield. And I think right now he's probably the guy the NFL is a little higher on. I haven't pegged as a day two guy right now, but he's not necessarily one of the ones that's getting as much attention. So, you know, if you're thinking in a landscape of a guy that you want to get on earlier, dig into maybe more than other folks are, I think Dyami Brown is somebody who is not as locked in on right now, but if we're talking end of the season, he's going to be a really popular name because I think he's just going to continue to put out consistent performances. Now with Daz Newsome, he has, a few more challenges when it comes to his translation to the next level. So, you know, when we're talking Brown, he's 6'1", 185. He kind of just looks like he has a larger frame when he's out there. Daz Newsome at 5'11", 190. I think he may be a little bit more limited in terms of what the NFL wants to do with him, but he's a twitchy guy. He's an athletic guy. He's good with the ball in his hands after the catch. He's been slow to start this season. He was non-existent pretty much at the Syracuse and BC games, but against Virginia Tech, pulls in 7 balls for 69 yards, gets that touchdown. You know, he breaks that defender in space. That's definitely a cornerstone of his guy, or a cornerstone of his game, I should say, is the ability to win in space. And so Newsome is a guy that I think, you know, maybe his options in terms of NFL teams that are interested in him won't be as high, but I think that a creative-minded coach, a coach who's going to latch onto that twitchiness and that athleticism, they're going to be interested in him. He's probably a day 3 guy right now, maybe that round 4 type range. So I think he's a little bit behind Brown, but I think both of these guys are legitimate NFL draft prospects at this point.
Yeah, I think outside of Diami Brown, really, like, if he has 15, 20 touchdowns, could he move into potentially for a second round range? Yes, but I think you got it right with Diami's probably that third round, I would say, just because there's so many good receivers. I mean, take into account all the seniors that we have, like a Nico Collins, Devonta Smith, Tylan Wallace, Amir Smith-Marsetti. You got 4 to 5. Marquez Stevenson could be in there. And you take into account the juniors, too. It's going to be hard for him to be a second, but I think third round all day. And Daz, he just doesn't have it physically that a team is going to want to invest more than a day 3 pick on. But both of them looked really good against Virginia Tech. I know they were missing a lot of pieces because of COVID, and then also Farley opted out. But I was impressed because so far they have – like the BC game, I was so disappointed – and their offense, because we're talking about a top 10 team in the nation with a potential Heisman quarterback and Sam Howell. They should do a lot. You touch on duos. I mean, they got the duo at receiver, and we know Javonte Williams and Michael Carter at running back.
Right, right.
You want to talk about an incredible offense. I mean, they have one, and they get to play Florida State this weekend. So I think 1,000 yards isn't off the table.
You know, just as a quick aside, I mean, how quickly has Mac Brown turned around that team? You know, 3 years ago, North Carolina had no pieces that anybody was getting excited about. And now they're starting to turn out legitimate NFL draft prospects. And it looks like we have a pipeline moving forward. This isn't just going to be, you know, a couple guys bumped up by Sam Howell or anything like that. It looks like they have a legitimate foundation in place. But, Jack, let's flip over back to the defensive side of the ball with your guy here from Cincinnati.
Yeah, Myjai Sanders is another under-the-radar guy who I think needs a lot more attention. Cincinnati is currently ranked 8th in the entire nation, and deservedly so. They've been the best Group of 5 team, not only this year, but they were really talented last year. And when you talk to people around the league and you just turn on the tape, it's easy to see he's the best guy on that defense. They've got a great one. You think about James Wiggins, Ahmad Gardner. They've got a ton of talent. But he stands out. He can get to the quarterback. He's great against the run. I've been so impressed. I think he's got a lot of potential too. So there's room for growth there with Myjai. He gets to play Tulsa, who's got a pretty solid offensive line this week. Next week's his big-time matchup, SMU, Jalen Thomas. He's one of the best tackles in the AAC. So there's going to be a few tests upcoming, but Myjai just – this entire season has dominated anyone he's gone up against. And Cincinnati, they're going to be in the spotlight more as they continue to be a top 10 team. So I think scouts, people who follow the NFL draft, they're going to start to see him more on TV and see how he's a dominant edge rusher and one of the leaders on a really talented Bearcat team.
I love that pick, man. I love the shout out for Cincinnati. You know, they have some really interesting pieces there on the offensive side, too. I think they're going to be a really fun team to scout, and we normally don't get to say that about Cincinnati. But you look at, like, Jerome Ford, you look at Desmond Ridder. There's a lot of guys to pay attention to when it comes to Cincinnati. Flipping back here to the offensive side of the ball, a guy that I am just not hearing much hype on, and I feel like we need to be talking about him more, is Shai Smith, 5'10", 190-pound wide receiver out of the University of South Carolina. Through the first 2 games of the season against Tennessee and Florida, Shai Smith pulls in 22 receptions, Now, I saw a good chunk of the Florida game. I saw all of the Tennessee game. And I have to tell you, this South Carolina offense is running through Shy Smith. He is the consistent guy catching passes underneath, reliable possession-type wide receiver. He's not doing anything overly wild in terms of being a burner on the boundary or anything like that, but he is a really consistent presence for this team. We've seen wide receivers really kind of get elevated in this South Carolina offense. Deebo Samuel, Bryan Edwards. I don't think he's at the level of those two guys, but I think he is. I think he has gone from UDFA to probably day three consideration at this point. I think this is going to be a consistent, reliable guy that NFL teams are into. I mentioned 22 receptions through the first two games. He had four receptions against Vanderbilt, but I think that's a little misleading because South Carolina took the lead 5 minutes into the game and never looked back, ended up winning 41-7 against the Commodores. You don't really need to throw the ball much against the Commodores. But Shy Smith, when they are throwing the ball, is the guy that's getting the job done. So I think as he continues to produce, he's going to jump on radars. So I'm hopping on the Shy Smith train early. I liked what I saw live. Went back, dug into that tape a little bit more. I saw the consistency behind his game. He's a reliable type guy, and I think the NFL is going to appreciate that, at least in day three consideration.
I would think that he's day three all day. Like, similar to Daz Newsome, doesn't have anything special going on where you'd want to give him that second or third top 100 consideration. It's a huge week this week because they play Auburn. Auburn hasn't looked that good this year. Could they upset them? I think it's possible. Like, I personally am taking South Carolina to upset the Tigers, and I think this could be another big showdown because if I'm not mistaken, it might. I think it's the it's a 12 o'clock showing, and there aren't too many.
You got a nooner?
What?
We got a nooner?
Yeah, I think it's a big noon game, so I'm hopeful that he, because their secondary, the Tigers, haven't looked great, so he'll be the focal point. I think we'll start to see him move into. I think he'd be a fourth, fifth rounder. I think that's perfect. I think that's where the NFL kind of has him right now. And I see him staying there, kind of that we know what we're getting. And I think it's perfect to have him keying in there as a riser.
It is currently a noon game. I wonder if they slide it into the three. No, never mind. LSU and Florida was the 4 o'clock game. Who's the prime, the 3:30 game?
No, I thought it was Florida. LSU, and now isn't it canceled now? So
yeah, they bumped it out. Yeah, okay. You're right. I think that was the CBS game. So yeah. Oh, they bumped Georgia Alabama to CBS, but are keeping it at 8. That's what I'm seeing right now on the SEC.
Okay, schedule. So I think it's not that it's a huge deal, but I think it's they should, because Ole Miss and Arkansas. I don't know if we're gonna touch on that a lot, but Ole Miss and Arkansas are two of my favorite teams so far this year.
We can do an entire episode just on Ole Miss and Arkansas,
right? Like both of them. So that's a good 3:30 game. So I don't know if they'll just move that one to like the prime time 3:30 one. But yeah,
it looks like Auburn and South Carolina is playing the nooner though. Yeah. It looks like that's pretty set in stone. But you're right. I mean, Auburn, that's upset alert all day. I think that's a good call. But let's go back here. We'll get out of the SEC because I could talk SEC all day. You know, you got to keep me honest with that. Let's talk about Patrick Jones from Pitt.
Patrick came into the year, and I think people thought of him as a second round, maybe third if you were low on him. And I was one of the guys who was pretty high on him, thought that he was definitely a potential first rounder. And he's basically been the best edge rusher in terms of production. He's got it. 7 sacks on the season. He had 3 last game against Boston College. You talk about Boston College's offensive line, and they always have a ton of talented players there. They produce, and he made them look like a JV squad last game. Him and Rashad Weaver are potentially the best edge rush duo in the entire nation. Pitt just has such an underrated defense. I think Patrick has been phenomenal so far this season. Not only has he been able to produce, he's produced in chunks. We talk about 3 sacks against Louisville too. If you can get after the quarterback, if you show that potential, because he flashes week in and week out where you're like, I get him with an NFL defensive line coach, and he can turn him loose, and he could be a 15 to 20 sack guy a season. That's how much potential he has. I think he's a first-round pick. I think people were like, all right, I want to see a little more, because I know he didn't have 20 sacks last season, but he's got 7 right now, and they got Miami this Saturday. He destroyed Miami. Like, I'm a Miami fan. He destroyed Miami last year. I wouldn't be shocked if he has another 3 to even 4 sack game. And if we're looking at a guy with 10 sacks for like 4 or 5 games, how are you not going to take the guy in the first round? I think he's risen to first round status all day.
I love it, man. I mean, part of the benefit of this, or I don't know, benefits, one of the pros, one of the positive takeaways is that of the Big Ten and the Pac-12 not playing is the ACC players, I think, sometimes get left behind a little bit in the Power 5 conversation, but they're getting a little bit more national spotlight. We're getting more primetime tape on them, which helps us as scouts get that tape quicker back. So I think that's a great pickup. And somebody like Patrick Jones, who maybe would slink away a little bit in the conversation, he's getting the opportunity to shine. But let's talk about another ACC defender here in Darian Kendrick.
Kendrick came into the season and he made me look really smart. I said he's going to be a first-round pick. And you know how many catches he's given up this season? Zero. He has a zero passer. Like, I mean,
zero. That's not a lot. That's not a lot at all.
No, he has not given up a lot of yards. He hasn't given up one. So he's really in that regard. He's killing it there. No one's throwing his way when they do. Like, he's phenomenal. So a little backstory: 5-star recruit comes to Clemson. He's a wide receiver. They convert him to cornerback. He's playing last year alongside AJ Terrell as a sophomore. So this kid's on the number one, number two team in the nation. Was a 5-star wide receiver. They put him at cornerback. He's starting already as a sophomore. So Venable saw something in him. And Brent, like, he's as good as you get as a defensive coordinator. So he knows what he's doing when he puts him at cornerback. And his tape wasn't that good. I thought he was like, if you just told me, watch this guy, nothing else, and see where he'd go. And I'd say, third round. And then I thought to myself, he's first round pick. He's going to be a first rounder because he's just going to take that next step, because that's what 5-stars do. An athlete like him, he's going to go to the other side of the ball and he's going to produce. And teams aren't throwing his way. When they do, I know Miami threw his way once or twice, and he had an interception, an incredible play that you would have thought he was a wide receiver. So ball skills, good enough speed, athleticism, smart enough to be able to translate positions so well. So I think that, like, he and Eric Stokes right now, for me, and you throw Tyson Campbell in there outside, because Surtain, the NFL loves Surtain as like a Jeff Okuda type top five guy. Farley's probably at CJ Henderson range, but we saw AJ Terrell, Damon Arnett, Jeff Gladney all go in the first round last year. So I think that those three guys could all be there, and I think Darian might be the third one off the board.
I feel like there's just always teams looking for corners. You know, there's just always going to be a need at corner. It's such a tough position to consistently perform at in the NFL. All right, we got one more here. We're going to finish it up with a quarterback. We're going to go out to the state of Utah here and talk about Zach Wilson, BYU. I will pull back the curtain a little bit. Zach Wilson was an add-on just when me and Jack were, like, prepping for this pre-show. We were like, we got to talk about Zach Wilson because this kid has just lit it up early on in the season. Through 4 games, Zach Wilson's completion percentage is 81%. All right, against Louisiana Tech, he was 24 for 26. He was 93% completion that game. He has 8 touchdowns to 1 interception. Now, part of the reason why Zach Wilson is a riser is because there's a large gap in terms of the quarterback class. It's Trevor Lawrence, it's Justin Fields, and then there's a whole lot of question marks. And we like Trey Lance here, but there are question marks. So once, you know, we're probably looking at Lawrence and Fields at the top, right? Teardrop down, Trey Lance. And then after that teardrop down, it's a wide open show. And it could go in any direction. Now, I don't think we're going to have a quick run at quarterback just based on team needs and the way things look. I just finished my mock draft 2.0, which comes out, by the way, on Thursday. So if you're listening to this live, it comes out tomorrow. If you're listening on Thursday, it is out now. You can head on over to dynastydraftroom.com. And I had a hard time even finding a 4th quarterback to put in the first round. And usually 4 quarterbacks is safe for the first round of the NFL draft. So, you know, after you get past Trey Lance, you can have an argument. You know, you can go Tanner Morgan. You can go Zach Wilson. You could go Kyle Trask if you don't watch football. You can go Mac Jones. Mac Jones has had a good early start. So there's a lot of different directions you can go in. And I'm not saying Zach Wilson is a day one guy. I don't think he is. But I think he's played his way into day 2 consideration. He definitely could still go day 3. But at least to start, Zach Wilson specifically in the way he plays. He's got a creative approach to his game. He's that guy who's not afraid to roll out, not afraid to run, not afraid to get creative with his arm angles, right? The reason that I'm specifically calling him a riser is because what we're always trying to think about when it comes to the NFL draft, right? The folks who are the best at predicting the NFL draft, they're reacting to what's working in the NFL because that's how the NFL works. It's a league that's always trying to think ahead and trying to react to what's working well in the NFL. Well, what's working well in the NFL right now? Patrick Mahomes, improvised arm angles. Lamar Jackson, improvised arm angles. These quarterbacks that are able to move around the field and find creative ways to get the ball forward, regardless of how clean it looks sometimes, they're able to find success. And Zach Wilson is doing that at a 6'3", 210-pound frame. That's a good frame to be moving around athletically with. So I think Zach Wilson is legitimately playing himself into the day two argument, and we still have, you know, some BYU to watch this season. So it's going to be interesting when it's time to really go back and dig into his tape. It only takes one NFL team to fall in love with you, right, and want you to fit into whatever they have in mind with their system. So Zach Wilson, I think, is going to be one of the most intriguing quarterbacks to scout through this process.
Zach Wilson is as intriguing as you get for an NFL prospect I've seen in recent memory, with the fact that I'm a big believer, and you touched on trends with the NFL. We're starting to see more. You're either first rounder or a day three guy. There are very few like Jalen Hurts went in the second round. I have no idea how that happened, but I'm sure a lot of teams did not have him as pegged as a second round pick. So you have that. Drew Locke went in the second. People thought he'd be a first. He happened to fall there. But there are very few day two guys who were taken in the second and third round. We thought that was potentially Jake Fromm, but when you really turn it on the tape, he forgot his right arm his junior season. So he went day three. We talk about like even James Morgan, but he went in the fourth round. So that day, Jacob Eason as well. So day two, he fits the mold of a day two guy. He does, and it's surprising to me because when I'm scouting over the summer, I'm always looking, could this guy be a first rounder? Because yeah. If his tape shows he could be, he's probably going to be there because there's no more Jimmy Garoppolo's because he's at Eastern Illinois. They're not taking him in the first round. They're beyond that, the NFL. Carson Wentz is going in the first round. North Dakota State, they don't care about that anymore. Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, there's no more height concerns. There's no more play, like where you play, what level, how tall, how big you are, whatever it may be. It's about the arm. It's about what you can bring to the table. Can you create outside of structure like a Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes? Do you have the arm talent to make it like a Josh Allen? So Zach Wilson, though, if he declares, and I don't think he will because I think his coach is going to be like, you could be a really high first rounder if you come back to school because we're going to play better competition next year. Because you look at his schedule this year, who is he playing? Like, Army, Louisiana Tech.
It's Navy, Troy, yeah. La Tech, and UTSA.
Yeah.
Don't you hate on the Roadrunners because the UTSA Roadrunners, man, they're looking good this season with my man Sincere McCormick.
Yeah, no.
The quarterback is rocking the number zero jersey, by the way, which is the toughest thing around.
Yeah, especially at a quarterback position.
rocking the zero, man. It's tough.
Right, no. So you have that where the schedule he has is like he plays Houston this Friday and he's got Boise State. Boise State has 1-2 NFL players on their defense and maybe Houston has one. So he's not playing any good opponents. So Zach Wilson, he's going to be that Johnny Manziel type of quarterback, but I think he's a lot better. So what I'm thinking about is that he's that perfect guy who this year could be a day two pick because I think Mac Jones probably comes back or he's a first rounder. That's how I think this is going to happen. So Mac Jones, if he continues to dominate, it's going to be hard for him not to be a first rounder and a Joe Burrow type riser, which would be back to back here. It's Kyle Trask, day three. Kellen Mond, day three. Desmond Ridder, day three. You go down the list, day three, day three, day three. Matt Corral is a redshirt sophomore. He's not coming out probably. So if Zach Wilson wants to, I think he's moved into that second or third round range and that fourth quarterback easily. And depending on the team, maybe they have him ahead of a Trey Lance if they're not high on just his physical traits.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Wilson, he's going to be a guy that's on – he's not going to be all on all 32 teams' boards, right? He's going to be on probably 10 boards, you know. And I could see him being – on a team's board who wants to make sure that they have a backup, right, that could take over a scheme where the quarterback needs to be mobile and the scheme relies on that mobility behind it, you know, or he could just be on a team that says, all right, you know, I'm thinking of the Steelers. Here's a good example. We got a guy that we like, we're ready to ride him out for the next couple of years, but Zach Wilson gives us something unique. If Roethlisberger goes down earlier, retires earlier than we thought, then he's that, this dynamic upside type guy that is hard for defenses to scheme against. So, you know, you could go either way in terms of the type of team that wants him, but I do think he's going to find a home. And at this point, if we continue on with what we've seen from him so far, I would be surprised if he doesn't declare, and I would be surprised if he makes it past day two. That is a good group of risers, though, Jack. I believe we talked about 10 guys here. Next week, we're going to do our fallers, so don't worry. We're not all about the hype. We're honest with you, too. So we'll talk about the guys who have not quite lived up to expectations or whose NFL draft stock we think is falling after the first six or so weeks of the NFL draft season. We appreciate you listening here to the NFL draft episode of the Dynasty Draft Room podcast. Make sure to go ahead and subscribe if you have not already and leave us a 5-star rate and review. Those reviews really, really help us get our name out here as we are starting to get into, I feel like we're starting to get into our prime time of the season, Jack. You know, Dynasty and Devy Fantasy Football, it's at its peak right now, but folks are starting to already turn towards the NFL draft. So if you can leave us that 5-star reviews, it's going to help others get to know us as well. And we appreciate you listening.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dynasty Draft Room Podcast. Please make sure to go ahead and subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rate and review.